Hi, it's Diane, and it is Tuesday, May 8th. I'm here with the Noon Group. So far, we've got Tammy and Jennifer. Let's start with celebrations and check-ins.
I'll start. My celebration actually is kind of weird, I guess. But my son had a few disappointments that he needed to kind of learn how to go through. And it took a while. It took probably a good little over a week to kind of get through the disappointments. But there was a couple, there was a big one and a little one. And yeah, it probably took about a week and a half, but he did it. He did it. And I'm just really proud of him. I mean, he needed a little, he needed a lot of help and, you know, all of that kind of thing. But he made it through to the other side, and now he's carrying on. So it's a celebration.
Awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, Jennifer, what about you?
I got a couple big ones. First is, and it's kind of funny, I received a letter from the school saying, oh, we're going to celebrate your child. He's getting an award on honors. School honors night, blah, blah, blah. And I laughed, thinking to myself, I wonder how many times they had to double and triple check. Are we sure we have the right person for this, considering the trouble he'd been in previous years? But he received an award at honors night from the Marine Corps for leadership for his JROTC program. So he was beyond happy, especially since it was coming from the Marines. And I was, you know, proud, and I felt kind of vindicated that, you know, yes, my child does deserve to be honored. You know, there is good in him. And then another big accomplishment for my son is he's the flag detail commander for his battalion at JROTC, and that is making sure that the flag gets put up at school and taken down every day. And in high school, it's all about getting, you know, as much stuff on their uniform that they can. And they have these things called arcs for flag detail, but he was told that the program couldn't buy them because they didn't have the money for them. And I just suggested out of the blue to my son, why don't you ask the principal for it? Because it's their flagpole, too. And he did. He walked right up to the principal and asked. And she said, sure, absolutely. So I was really proud of him for doing that and not being afraid, because normally it would be, oh, no, I'm not going to talk to her. I don't want to. So I was proud of him for taking the initiative and talking to her. Now, if any whatever comes out of it, yet to be seen, but, you know, it's a good first step.
Yeah, yeah. No, that makes sense. Awesome. So, okay, so Jennifer, in turn, where do you want to take aim?
I think sort of like what you said is, you know, how to somehow push CJ without feeling he's being pushed to get everything done by Friday and then prepare for finals in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And not be judgmental.
Well, and again, this is what we started to talk about before the call started, is that sort of what really is your goal and what is a realistic and this is a question we want to constantly be asking, is what's a realistic expectation for our kids, and what support do they need, and how can we step in and provide some of that support? And so I think it's a great place for you to take aim today. Tammy, what about you?
to take aim on, I need to take aim on just being supportive of my boy without getting too overwhelmed with, there's still about 6 weeks or 7 weeks of school here, but they're getting ready for like field trips and things like that to go on, but they have to they have to meet a requirement to be able to go on them. So he's working very hard to be able to meet that requirement. It's kind of an everyday thing. So anyway, it can get a little overwhelming we just have to take it day by day. So it's a kind of a taking thing every morning.
Yeah. So Tammy, is it about your overwhelm or his overwhelm or both?
I think it's about mine. It's
okay.
About mine. Because he's now and not now, you know,
mm-hmm.
And the trip is a month, the trips are, you know, a month or more away, but the kids have to, you know, stay in certain order, you know, from now until then, which is not how his brain works at all. So
hang on a second. So is it about... This sounds like there's two pieces of work. One is managing your own overwhelm because it's a lot of stuff, and then the other is how to really kind of hold him accountable,
yeah.
Given the fact that his brain is so now, not now. Is that fair?
Right. Yeah, yeah. I just have to kind of check in with him and you know, get the right check in with him that he wants to have. And it keeps changing, you know. So that's just kind of a quick check-in. I think mine is the most overwhelmed for me is because he's missed out on so many fun things, you know. I mean, he's in eighth grade now.
So hang on a second.
Yeah.
So what I'm hearing is there's a lot of, the bar has been raised, right? So you're like, oh, my gosh, I don't want him to miss out on anything else fun. And so you're creating some pressure for yourself to make sure that he's successful, to make sure he doesn't miss out on anything else.
All right,
wow.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
That's probably not fair to do to me, but it's kind of being thrown on top of me because it's kind of a, there's three field trips, and it's kind of a, certain number of strikes will wipe out all three of them. There's no,
right.
There's no one. There's no missing one and going on two. No missing two going on one. It's all or nothing. And I can't change it. I just want him to have fun. I just want him to have fun. And it's me. It's totally not him. And you know, we're checking in. It's a quick check-in between him and I. It's not a big deal. And he's staying on course for a bit. He's doing okay. I guess it's mostly me. I'm tired of him losing all the fun stuff. It's definitely me.
It wears you out. Let's play a little bit with non-judgment and see how that might help, and then we'll go back and do some laser coaching, Tammy, to make sure you feel comfortable. Because it sounds like a subtle mindset shift could be part of what you need, but there's a gremlin in there.
Well,
guess. Is that fair?
Well, honestly, if I'm being totally honest with you, if I'm not careful, what happens is if he trips up like he did this morning, he was, it all worked out fine. But if he trips up a little bit, then I get really, Oh, yeah, he can't be late because if he's late, that's another strike against him that he can't get back, by the way. So I have to be supportive of him without being, you know, overwhelmed and all that. So,
yeah
I have
this
trouble with that. But I have trouble with it because I don't want him to keep missing. He always gets, I shouldn't say always, that's a terrible
thing. I know.
But
I know. Okay.
98% of the time he gets all the fun stuff taken away and he has to sit
there. So, hang on a second. So I'm gonna move on, Sammy, but before I do, I've got a mantra for you for the next 5 minutes. Okay, you ready?
Okay, yes, and I will listen.
What you said was you want him to have fun.
Period. I do. Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to let go of the how that looks, right? Because the reality is that he could go on a field trip and hate it, or he could go on the field trip and have a great time, or he could not go on the field trip and have a lot of fun, or he could not go on the field trip and not have fun. I mean, so the field trip is independent of his happiness. Are you willing to consider that that's true?
Well, in that time period, it's not, but it eventually, yes. I mean, there will be fun to be had, just not those particular days during that particular time period. Because he'll be sitting in a classroom doing work at school while everybody's gone.
And part of what you're trying to do is avoid those. So it's not so much about the fact that he has fun, it's that you want to avoid his disappointment if he doesn't get to go. Is that fair?
Yes. Okay. Yes, very fair.
Okay, So we're going to jump in and talk about non-judgment, and I'm on page 52? Yeah, 52 of the workbook. And this one is a really good one, and I like it personally, and I like it, you know, obviously as a coach, but it's this idea that when we react to something as wanted or unwanted, good or bad, and then I'm going to say good or bad because I think that a lot of times we focus on the bad stuff, and that's judgment. It's like I'm judging it as bad, but the good part gets in here as well. We're more likely to push hard for a particular solution, and we're more likely to get triggered. But the reality is that our kids feel the judgment, and especially if it's around something that they wish they had more control over or that they really don't have a whole lot of control over, it makes them feel like they're being judged personally rather than even the situation is being judged. And so you could say, wow, it really is, you know, it's, you know, getting a bad grade is not what we want to have happen. And if our kid feels like they don't have a whole lot of control over whether or not they get a good grade, they're going to feel very disempowered, and they're going to feel personally judged as well. And when any of us feel judged, we're more likely to crawl in our shell, we're more likely to get triggered, we're more likely to really kind of get into a place of self-defeating, and our ability to really kind of keep situations moving forward gets impaired. So the goal here is to stay as out of judgment as possible, and that keeps our energy up. Because if I'm sitting there going, oh, no, this can't happen. I can't believe this is going to happen again. Maybe this is going to happen, and I don't want this to happen, and this would be terrible if this happened. It's like all of a sudden my energy is focused on that thing that I don't want. And if I can keep my energy focused on what we do want to have happen and on forward-moving progress and on the process rather than the outcome, it's going to help us to stay engaged with our kids in a very, very different way. So, you know, we will be able to be more decisive and understanding of what's really going on. We'll be able to remain calm, and we're going to make sure, this is the third thing on here, that our kid feels loved and valued rather than feeling shameful or bad. So it's not easy, and I think that the other piece that comes in here for me is that a lot of us spend a lot of time judging ourselves. So all those shoulds come in here where we should be able to do this or we should be able to fix that or this shouldn't be happening, and we end up shoulding all over ourselves. So when we think about judgment, we want to think about judgment of ourselves as parents or individuals, and also judgment of our kids' experiences, as well as judgment, flat-out judgment of our kids, which we tend to do sometimes as well. So I'm curious what comes up for the two of you around this area of non-judgment. Is it easy? Is it hard? What do you notice?
This is Jennifer. I think, and it's kind of what Tammy was talking about at the beginning and not wanting her son to miss out on stuff. It's like, you know, me not wanting, you know, me wanting my son to experience things that other are not normal, but, you know, typical teenagers experience. It's hard not to judge, and I think, you know, I'm spending too much time judging myself based on my past experiences, because when it comes down to it, my son doesn't know anything different. I don't know if that makes sense.
So give me an example of something that you judge from your own experience that you're applying to his life.
Like, sorry. We had a big discussion about him not going to his junior prom. You know, it's like I felt bad that he wasn't going, and because of how much fun I had at my junior prom, or in my mind, I thought I did. So it's like I'm kind of, you know, judging that, you know, he didn't want to go and he doesn't want to do things, you know, do that. Well, what's wrong? Why don't you? What, you know, I'm like.
Yeah, so you're using, no, this makes perfect sense. Thanks for explaining that. So what you're describing is when we use our frame of reference to evaluate our kids' experiences. And that's a really normal thing because that's all we have is our own lens. And so we see something that's happening to our kids and we go, oh my gosh, if that happened to me, this is how I would feel. And so our kids must feel the same way. And that's an assumption we make, which is a really normal assumption. So I really wanted to go to my junior prom, and I had a great time. And so it doesn't make any sense to me that he wouldn't want to go. And so he must be kind of pretending that he doesn't want to go, but he really does want to go kind of thing. Or you know, whatever the story is that we're creating for ourselves. But we do it because of our own experience. The example that kind of comes up for me was like when my oldest was in middle school, I was convinced he was being bullied and he didn't know it. And I didn't want to tell him, but like 2 or 3 days in a row, he came home and he said, oh, my friend so-and-so accidentally pushed me in gym class today. And like the same story every single day, my friend so-and-so accidentally pushed me in gym class. And I was like, wow, this kid's picking on him, but he didn't have an awareness of it. He didn't have a judgment of it. He wasn't upset about it. He was like, oh, my friend, you know, something happened with my friend and he made a mistake. And so I worked really hard not to go, I can't believe my child's being bullied. This is not good. I have to do something to fix it. Because he didn't need to have it fixed. He was okay in the environment. And so I watched and I waited and he stayed fine and he stayed in an okay place and it passed. Now, that doesn't always happen, and there are times, obviously, that parents need to jump in if a kid's being bullied. But I say that as that if I, from my lens, that was a horrible situation. From his lens, he was fine. So, Jennifer, how do you want to respond in those situations where you know your own stories show up?
It's so hard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have to really constantly remind myself that he's not me. He didn't grow up the same way as me. And I think that's a lot, some of it is a part of it because, you know, when I grew up, and I'm sure you too, is, you know, during the summer, bye mom at, you know, 8 in the morning, and I'll be back sometime, and I come back at 6. And there's no problem. My mom's not worried, frantic, but it's like, you know, he can't, he doesn't have that same reference. So it's hard to, when he does want to go with somebody all day, I don't know what I'm saying now.
Well, the question that's coming up is, how do you, is it about letting go of your own worldview as you're looking at your kid's life, or is it about getting more into their head and what's important to them, or somewhere in between, or something different?
I think it's somewhere in between, because, like, I know, even though my son says, like, oh, it's okay, I didn't care if I didn't go to the prom, deep down I knew he really wanted to. And then, you know, I don't know, then it ends up being putting my judgment on other people's kids that, okay, well, why can't they just ask, you know, CJ to come or include him or, like, you know.
Yeah, and the stories
like
are coming in. Yeah. Well, so I think that that's the question. So you're describing something really different, is that so there's two scenarios here. Scenario one is where we think something is bad and or unwanted. I'm going to use that language. Something is unwanted. We're judging it. And we also suspect our kids are as well, but they're not actually admitting it. And then the other is when we're putting our judgment on a situation that our kid sees differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so one is about kind of helping our child and giving our child space to really acknowledge how they feel about it. You know, so if you think secretly he really did want to go to the prom, how do you connect with him in a way that gives him as much room as possible to talk about it, but honors the fact that he may never talk about it?
Right.
What kind of conversation did you have with him?
Oh, just sort of, you know, what, you know, and he was thinking that everybody was going as dates. And when I told him, well, no, a bunch of your friends I know are just going with a whole big group of friends. And he's like, oh, and yeah, like always, I don't get invited.
Hang on in that moment. Do you lead with problem solving? Do you lead with compassion? Do you lead with questions? What do you lead with?
I think I led sort of with compassion because it's like, you know, yeah, I can understand how you'd feel. You know, I didn't always get asked to do stuff growing up either. And even now I'm not asked a lot, you know, to do stuff a lot of times.
So how did he respond to that show of compassion, Jennifer?
I think he was okay with it. And it's like, well, okay, well, maybe next year I'll you know, I'll think about it and, you know, think about it earlier in getting friends together.
So that's a place that you could, finish your thought. Sorry.
I'm just saying instead of him just thinking that I only have to have a date, you know, ask what some of my other friends are doing for the prom.
Right. So my instinct is that there's a role that you can play in helping him to remember that next year, because his working memory may or may not kick in November, December, January, February, when he needs to be thinking about what does he want to do about prom.
Right.
So how committed are you to playing a role, and what would you need to do to make sure that you can remember?
Oh, I think I'll remember, just because it's, you know, it's his senior year. It's his last year, and I want, you know, like Tammy, I want him to experience everything or as much as possible so he doesn't live the rest of his life thinking school was just hell, but did have some good memories to look back on. So, I mean,
Well, hang on a second. Can I just call you on that for just a second? Because you went really far. There's a far leap from, wow, next year he if he remembers soon enough, maybe he can coordinate with his friends to go to the prom, to I don't want him to think high school was hell. It feels like a big leap there. Is that a fair assessment?
It's what?
It's a big leap, right?
Yeah, and all of high school isn't just the prom.
Right.
But, you know,
right.
The fun activities, the more memorable activities of high school. I mean, I don't remember day-to-day stuff. I mean, I do some, but I remember, you know, the formal dances, our Christmas ball, our prom.
So again, it's that sort of. So I'm hearing some catastrophizing that you can take a deep breath into. and again, it's that lens, right? So it's that sort of. I know what was important to me, and
right.
At the same time, as parents, all we can do is really honor what our kids tell us is important to them, with a caveat that there's going to be times that our kids don't quite tell us the whole story.
Right.
Because there are experiences that you loved that your kid would never, ever, ever want to even ever experience, just because your kid's completely different than you.
Right. That's true.
So Tammy, what's coming up for you as we're talking?
I don't know really what's coming up. I mean, I'm following it. I mean, it's really great information. I mean, I've taken in a lot in this little bit of time, so it's really been great.
How does judgment play into the conversation about the end of the school and the field trips for you?
How does judgment play into it? Maybe in that, I mean, the only way I can think, I mean, that judgment would play into it, it is not with him at all. It's with me, like, maybe I didn't, bring him far enough to be able to do this, to be able to attain it. I just feel like we've been working so hard And he's come so far, and he just keeps missing the mark. But they keep raising the bar, so it's kind of not fair. It's definitely all me. It's not him. He's very, as I said before, now and not now. So he wouldn't feel sad about it until the day came where everybody left and he was at school. Then he'd feel sad about it, you know. But
so hang on a second, Tammy. How hard can I push you on this one? I don't know.
No, go ahead, please. Because it's so weird that this call was today, because what happened this morning was he was great, and then he wanted a different jacket, so he went down the dryer to get it. So then he got him out the door, and he was great. Everything was fine. And then he comes all the way back home. Oh, I forgot something. I just about, like, had a breakdown.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you're going to be late. So, I mean, and then it was like, and so he's looking at me. He's like, what do you want in your period? What is wrong with you? You know? So then it was that. And then everything, like, the whole morning completely fell apart. But then I don't know, he ran faster than the wind even blew, because the teacher, you know, told me he wasn't late, so it was okay. But, you know.
So here's the push. I'm gonna push it all the way to the wall, Tammy.
Yeah, please.
So,
go ahead.
One of my teachers says that being sad or disappointment is not good or bad. There's nothing wrong with being sad. There's nothing wrong with being disappointed. It's no different than being happy. It's no different than being joyous. It's a life experience that happens to all of us, and it's normal and it's expected.
Right.
And so what do you do with that teaching?
I mean, it's just a part of life, I guess, you know. I know what my problem is. My problem is that I'm tired of being, it's really wearing on me to be heartbroken for him, because I keep having to, I feel like, okay, this is what I feel like. I feel like we keep having to back up a little bit.
Okay, so hang on a second. So those two things are happening at the same time.
Right.
You're having to take a few steps backwards, and you're feeling heartbroken for him.
Right.
And those are two different and unique things.
Right.
How willing are you to consider that instead of being heartbroken, there's another way to be when you have to take steps backwards?
Well, I can see all the I really honestly can see all the celebration and the progress. I really can. It's just that when they get to be this age, they raise the bar higher.
Well, so hang on a second. So wait. You went from heartbreak to celebration. There's like a whole range of emotions in the middle there. What happened?
I know,
right?
That's why I'm having such a hard time, because
and
I'm
you're
like,
it's like
well, why
am I gotta find a celebration in this terrible thing that just happened to my child? I mean, like,
no,
okay, we're not trying to get all the way to celebration, Tammy.
Well, no, because I can see how far he's come. Like, even, you know, I mean, he's come so far. I can't even, I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of learning to manage himself he's done. It's incredible if you look back at it, you know. I mean, I can see that. But I guess I'm just tired of having to take steps backwards. And then I just...
Well, so what if I told you? So what if on the first day your child was born?
Yes.
That I actually told you what the path was going to look like. And I can tell you, you're going to go over here for a little while, and then you're going to go over here for a while, and you're going to go over here for a while. And so
I
then instead
totally
of having
fine with it.
Right.
I would have been totally fine with it because I had him.
Right. So. Because this is the thing, is that you've got a picture in your head of the way it's supposed to be. And you're evaluating what's actually happening against some imaginary truth. Is that true?
Yeah.
And that's the judgment. It's right. Not supposed to be happening this way. What if this is exactly the way it's supposed to happen? What if this is the perfect way for this to happen?
Well, I'm tired of this.
Here's a blunt comment, Tammy. You're tired of it because you're judging it as bad. That's the only reason you're tired of it.
I know.
That is
I know.
The only reason you're tired of it.
Okay. All right.
Are you willing to consider that that's true?
Yes, I am.
Okay. If you can find a more positive way to look at it, it will exhaust you less.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So what it is, the worst possible thing is he doesn't go and we have fun going to those places as a family, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just.
And he sits in class and he has a few moments of disappointment because he's not able to go.
Right.
And he experiences disappointment and he learns how to experience disappointment. And you have this great opportunity to help him to learn how to handle disappointment.
Right.
And you can find something else to bring him happiness.
Yeah. I understand.
So how willing are you? So scale is 0 to 10. How bought in are you into that?
Oh, I'm totally bought into that. I just wish he could. There's a piece of me that just wishes he could go and have a good time with him.
There you go. So there's a piece of you. So it feels almost, to me, Tim, it feels like there's like two different people in your head, right? And there's this part of you that goes, I get it, Diane. It's not about the field trip. It's about the long term, and it's not a terrible thing. The world's not going to end, and I get it. But then there's this little part of you, right? So my question
is... that's the whole push now, you know? Like, all the kids are getting ready to, like, go, you know?
Well, honestly, Tammy, there's something in there about you and feeling disappointment. You know, it's hard to watch your kids feel disappointed because...
Yes, it is.
It reminds you of all those moments. At least for me it does, and for most of the clients that I work with, it's like it reminds us of our own disappointment, and we want to avoid feeling disappointed at like any cost because, gosh, you know, we get to our age and it's like we don't want to be disappointed anymore. So how do you handle your own disappointment?
I guess I just picked up and moved on, really. I don't think I really ever thought about it. I just
kind of do the now and not now thing and just say it's not happening.
I think I just gathered things up and did something a little different. That's what I did, honestly.
Okay.
You know.
So... you have this part of you that is resilient and can transform difficult situations into lemonade. I'm going to say that. You've got this part of you that can make lemons into lemonade, right? And then you've got this part of you that would avoid lemons at all costs, right? There's this part of you, this small, little, tiny, tiny part of you that's like, oh, my gosh, this can't happen. This cannot happen. I've got to do everything in my power to make sure this doesn't happen. For him, for me, for the 5-year-old me who got disappointed when somebody stole my lollipop, whatever it is, right? There's that.
I mean, nobody likes to see their kids sitting in school when everybody else is at the amusement park.
Nobody does that. Nobody wants
I mean,
that.
You know,
nobody
just always,
wants that.
It just seems like I'm the mother that does that, you know. It's like, I mean, you know.
Well, so hang on a second. So is that part of this? Is that part of the judgment that somehow if you were a good mom, your kid wouldn't be sitting there in class?
I think part of it is kind of like, boy, if only I could have gotten a little further along. I mean, that might be part
so
of it.
So hang on a second. So are you telling me that it's your fault that this system that evaluates him completely unfairly?
Yes, they do because, you know. But they did
yeah, because
do,
you just you started this with the fact that they don't take into consideration his abilities. They don't take into consideration realistic expectations. It's an all or nothing.
Thing,
so you're
no.
sitting here saying that you should somehow be a good enough mom that you could like superhero your son into a parallel universe where he could accomplish this thing that's probably not possible on most planets.
Right.
Is that what you're telling me?
That's well, I mean, I think that's the only thing I had kind of come up with. I mean, you know, instead of admitting defeat before I even get there. So.
Well, but here, so let's say this way. Let's do it this way. If you were in a situation where the school said only children with blue eyes can go on the field trip, and we're never changing our mind, and this is the rule, and don't bother trying to get us to change it, and don't go to the superintendent, and I don't care what you say, this is our rule.
Right.
How would you handle it? Wait, I don't know whether your kid has blue eyes or not, but whatever color you know what I mean, right?
I do know what you mean. Yes, absolutely. It's a familiar
feeling, actually.
So how
would you handle it? How would you handle it?
I would probably give them the finger when they weren't looking and just have my kid do what he needed to do in school and then go do something fun with him after.
Exactly. And you'd say, sweetie, I'm so sorry. They've got this stupid rule. And 90% of what goes on in this school is awesome, but this one thing, it just kind of stinks. And I wish it was more fair, but it's not. And I want you to feel happy and honored and valued. And so let's go do this and not worry about the field trip.
Yeah. Yep. I'm following you.
So the other piece I want to say, and I'm going to go back to Jennifer, is that there's this part of you that really is afraid of watching him feel hurt. And there's an opportunity there somewhere for you, Tammy, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know how deep you go with that sort of stuff. But
yeah.
There's that sort of how do you deal with your own disappointment? How do you deal with that part of you that just like would rather die than feel disappointed? And get to a place where if it feels better to say disappointment is a normal part of life and it's okay.
Yeah. Well, I do know that we handle disappointment with him in a way different way than I used to handle disappointment with me. So, I mean, you know.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. Well, you know, there's a whole lot in this phone call than I thought there would ever be. You know that, right? He's so weird.
I'm working you hard. And you thought you knew everything there was to know about non-judgment.
And it was the weirdest thing that happened this morning because all the way up till this morning, everything was like, okay, this is okay, you know. So, but I think it's just getting, there's a lot of pressure on the kids at school. You know, it's kind of where the rubber meets the road, you know, was kind of coming. So
yeah.
I think that happened
too.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
But that's normal, right? That's okay.
Jennifer, any additional thoughts for you before we move into the closing question?
Now, no.
No? No, that was a no. I was like, I thought it was, well, sorry. Okay, cool. So let's look at the questions on page 53 and do some wrap up here. So the first question is, what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? How can I set myself up for success with this action? So would love to hear from both of you kind of what your ahas were and what you want to do with the information in terms of moving it forward.
Well, I mean, you put things in such a way they made them seem able to digest, you know. For some reason, this just seemed like a bigger thing than regular. I mean, there's been a lot of disappointments along the way, let me tell you. But this just seemed like something that was bigger just because it's like a huge end of the year thing. But,
yeah,
you know. So, anyway, you just made it easier to, you know, digest, handle, you know. And so I'll be able to, you know, handle things with him differently, see how they pan out. So
how... It doesn't feel very specific, Tammy. Does it feel more specific inside your head? Because I just want to test. I want to check on that.
No, it does. It does. I think I know what I'm doing. I don't want him to feel like he did something wrong. You know, it's kind of like, if you don't get a strike, you're good, and if you get a strike, you're bad. I don't want him to feel that like that. So,
okay.
I have to come up with something like that. But other than that, I think I'm good.
So what do you do about your own stories in your head? Is there work there as well?
For me?
Mm-hmm. It seems like there's an action step, like what you're going to do with him, and then there's a mindset thing that you might do with you.
My gosh, all this stuff is so doggone complicated. I'm not going to blame myself for that. Yes.
Okay.
I got it.
So that's the other piece of it, is kind of focusing on how your own perspective is.
Right. We just have to keep a couple steps, you know, the other direction and just go forward from there.
Okay.
So, and if it has to be that way, it has to be that way. It's okay.
Jennifer, what about you?
I missed that whole thing because I had to jump on another call. And
that's
I've got
right.
to
we
go back on
this.
That other call.
So just a quick check out. What was your aha today, and what do you want to commit to?
I think my big aha is that I'm spending too much time judging myself, not, you know, maybe just putting my judgment on my son.
Cool. Awesome. So is there something in particular that you need to change?
So, yeah. I got to jump off. Diane,
okay.
Can I email you or call you about another issue I'm having at school that I just need some direction on?
Absolutely. You have my personal email?
Yes, I do.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, thank you, Tammy. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you, Diane. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
I'll talk to you next time.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.